First discussion. Kobowitz, Thursday, June 12, 1924. Question. Does the dilution for the of the horn manure preparation continue an arithmetic progression? Dr. Steiner. That is something that needs to be investigated further. You will probably find that as the areas to be treated get larger, you can use greater amounts of water and fewer cow horns. Thus, you will be able to manure large areas with relatively few cow horns. In Dornoch, we had 25 cow horns, and we used some of these to treat a large garden. First, we used one horn to half a bucketful. Later, we treated it again, using two horns to a whole bucket. Then we also had to treat an area that was much bigger. There we took seven horns to seven buckets of water. Next question. Is it all right to use a machine to stir the manure for larger areas, or is that not permissible? Dr. Steiner. Well, you can either be quite strict about things like that, or you can decide to gradually slide towards surrogates. There's no question that stirring by hand has a quite different significance than mechanical stirring, although, of course, someone with a mechanistic worldview would never admit it. Just consider what a huge difference there really is. When you stir by hand, all the fine movements of your hand go into the stirring, and quite possibly all kinds of other things do too, including the feelings you have as you stir. People nowadays don't think that that makes any difference, but in the field of medicine, for instance, the difference is quite noticeable. Believe me, it is really not a matter of indifference whether a certain medication is prepared by hand or by machine. Something is imparted to the things that are produced by hand. And you mustn't laugh at this. I have often been asked what I thought of the Ritter remedies, about which some of you may have heard. As you may know, some people sing the praises of these remedies while others go around saying they have no particular effect. Of course, they do have an effect, but I am firmly convinced that they would lose a great deal of their effectiveness if they became available commercially. With these medicines in particular, it makes a great difference when the doctor prepares a remedy and gives it directly to the patient. A certain enthusiasm is administered along with a remedy when all this occurs only in smaller circles. You may say that enthusiasm cannot be weighed or measured, but an enthusiastic doctor is an inspired doctor. And the doctor's enthusiasm supports the dynamic effect of the medicine. After all, light has a strong influence on remedies, so why shouldn't enthusiasm? As a mediator, enthusiasm can have a great effect, and so can an enthusiastic doctor. That is why the Ritter remedies can be so effective. Great things can be accomplished with enthusiasm. However, if something like this were prepared by machine, the effects would probably disappear. That is what is involved here. Whether something is done with everything that proceeds from the human hand, and this is a lot, or whether it is done by machine. But it could also turn out that doing the stirring is such fun that you wouldn't even consider using a machine, even when a lot of cow horns were needed. It could be something you do on Sundays after lunch. Then if you invite a lot of guests and provide some entertainment, you could get it done just beautifully without any machines. Question. There are already some technical difficulties in distributing half a bucketful of water over a third of a fifth acre. If now the number of cow horns is increased, this means not only more horns, but more difficulties in the distribution. Can that half bucket of water be diluted with more water? Or is it important to keep this proportion? I mean, should we always use about half a bucket for a third of a fifth acre? Dr. Steiner, you could do as you suggest, but then I think the method of stirring would have to be modified. You could finish stirring one hornful in a half bucket of water and then further dilute what is in the bucket, but then you would have to stir it again. I think it would be better to calculate how much less of the material you would need in a half bucket of water and then stir by the half bucketful, even if you use less than one horn. It is very important to get a thorough and intimate mixture. Simply pouring the stuff into water and stirring won't do. You must bring about an intimate permeation, and this does not occur when you put in any kind of thickened substance or if you don't stir vigorously. I think it is easier for people to stir a lot of half buckets with a little bit of substance in them than to stir the diluted water a second time. Question: could the liquid be strained, since there will always be some solid particles left, so that it can be better applied with a spraying apparatus? Dr. Steiner, I do not think that will be necessary. If you stir it quickly, you will get a fairly cloudy liquid and will not have to worry about there still being foreign particles in it. The manure will allow itself to be evenly distributed. Pure cow manure is best, but I don't think you have to go to the extra effort of straining it, even if there are other things mixed in. The other things, rather than being harmful, might even be beneficial, because the process of concentration and subsequent dilution really only involves a dynamic, radiant effect, not a substantial one. Thus, there's no danger if one of those foreign bodies lands somewhere, for instance, of getting potato plants with long shoots and nothing on them. There's no danger of that. Same question, second part. I was only thinking of what it would do to the sprayer. Dr. Steiner, you can put it through a strainer. That won't hurt. The best thing would be to have your machinery fitted with a strainer ahead of the sprayer. Same questioner, next part. You didn't say whether we should weigh what comes out of the horn so as to get a specific proportion. And is that half bucket a Swiss bucket, or is it a certain number of liters? Dr. Steiner, I took an ordinary Swiss milk bucket. Everything was developed from direct experience. Now the weights and measures need to be worked out. Question: can the cow horns be reused, or do they always have to come from freshly slaughtered animals? Dr. Steiner, we have not tried it out, but as far as I can tell, you ought to be able to use the horns 3 or 4 times. After that, they probably won't work as well. It might be possible to use them for another year if you store them in the cow barn for a while after they've been used 3 or 4 times. I don't have any idea, though, how many horns will be available on the average farm, so I cannot tell whether or not you will need to be especially economical with them. That's a question I can't answer right now. Question: where can we get the cow horns? Do they have to have come from Eastern or Central Europe, because that's where the farms are? Where you get them from does not matter at all, just not from the slaughterhouse dump. They need to be as fresh as possible. However, the strange thing is that life in the Western Hemisphere is something quite different from life in the Eastern Hemisphere. Life in Africa, Asia, and Europe has a totally different significance than life in America. So it is possible that horns from American cattle would have to be treated somewhat differently to make them effective. For instance, you might have to pound the manure in more tightly to make it denser. It is best to use horns from your own locality. There is a very strong kinship between the forces present in the cow horns of a given area and the other forces at work in that area. The forces of a foreign cow horn might conflict with the local forces of that part of the earth. Of course, you also have to take into account that frequently the cows providing the horns in a given area do not originate in that area, but this is not a problem. Because when cows have been grazing and living on a certain piece of land for 3 or 4 years, then they belong to that land, unless they are Western cattle. Question. How old can the horns be? Do they have to come from an old or a young cow? Dr. Steiner, you'll have to try all these things out, but from what I know, it would seem that horns from cows of medium age would be best. Question, how big do the horns have to be? Rudolf Steiner drew the size of the horn on the blackboard, about 12 to 16 inches, the average horn size of the local Allgäu cattle. Question. Isn't it also important whether the horn comes from an ox or from a male or female animal? Rudolf Steiner. It is very likely that horns from castrated cattle would not work at all, and that bull horns would not work very well. That's why I keep saying cow horns. Cows, as a general rule, are female. I mean, the female animal. Question. When is the best time to sow grains for bread making? Dr. Steiner. The answer to this question will emerge more exactly when I talk about sowing later on in the lectures. Planting dates are extremely important, of course, and it makes a great difference whether you sow closer to the winter months or further away from them. If you sow close to winter, you induce a strong reproductive capacity. If you sow further away from winter, you engender a strong nutritive force in your grains. Question. Could we also distribute the cow horn manure by mixing it with sand? And does it make any difference if it is raining? Dr. Steiner, with regard to the sand, you can go ahead and try it. We haven't tried it, but there is nothing to be said against it. What effect rain has is something that would have to be tested. Presumably, the rain would not make any difference. It could even lead to everything becoming more firmly established. But on the other hand, since there is such a strong concentration of forces involved here, it is also possible that even the tiny impact of the falling raindrops might disperse things too much. It is really a very subtle effect we're working with, so all these things have to be taken into account. There is nothing to be said against spreading the cow manure with sand. Question. How can we protect the cow horns and their contents from harmful influences during storage? Dr. Steiner, the general rule in cases like this is that removing the so-called harmful influences does more damage than simply leaving things alone. People are so eager to disinfect everything these days that they invariably overdo it. In the case of our remedies, for instance, we found that if we wanted to absolutely prevent any possibility of mold, we would have had to use methods that would also have inhibited the therapeutic effect. I don't have all that much respect for these harmful influences. They don't do much damage. It is better to leave things alone than to go to great lengths to keep them clean. We just covered the cow horns with pig bladders to keep the dirt from falling in. As for the horns themselves, I wouldn't recommend cleaning them in any special way. You have to get used to the idea that dirt is not always dirty. If you cover your face with a thin layer of gold, that's dirt. And yet gold is not dirt. So dirt is not always dirty. In fact, Sometimes the dirt is precisely what does the preserving. Question. Should we take any special measures to help drive the seed as far as possible into chaos? Dr. Steiner, you could, but it isn't necessary. If seeds are formed at all, a mixture of chaos is already there and needs no further support. Manuring is where the support is needed. As far as seed formation goes, I don't think there is any need to enhance the chaos. If the seeds are fertilized at all, the chaos is already complete. Question. Won't it also be necessary to do something for the cosmic forces that are supposed to be retained until a new plant is formed? Rudolf Steiner. This could be done, of course, by making the soil more siliceous, since it is through silica that the actual cosmic factor is absorbed by the earth and becomes effective. You could do that, but I don't think it is necessary. Question. How big should our experimental plots be? Rudolf Steiner. You could make experiments in the following way. Giving general guidelines for these things is always relatively easy, but you will have to try out for yourself what size works best in practice. In this case, it will be relatively easy to set up the experiments. Let's say you plant two experimental beds of wheat and sainfoin side by side. You will find that the wheat, which has a strong natural tendency towards seed formation, will be hindered in this respect if you add silica to the soil. While with the sainfoin, you will see that seed formation is probably completely suppressed or perhaps simply delayed. When you want to research things like this, you can always compare the features shown by a grain like wheat with analogous features in sainfoin or some other legume. In this way, you can set up very interesting experiments on seed formation. Question. Does it matter when the diluted substance is applied to the fields? Dr. Steiner. Undoubtedly, it does matter. As a general rule, you can leave the cow horns in the ground until you need them. They'll be none the worse for it. Even if they were meant to be there over winter and still stay in for part of the summer. But it is necessary to keep them somewhere else. If it is necessary to keep them somewhere else, you should make a crate and line it with a cushion of loose peat on all sides. If you keep the cow horns in there, the powerful concentration inside them will be maintained. On the other hand, it is not at all advisable to keep what you've already diluted with water. You have to stir it not too long before you use it. Question. If we want to use this treatment on winter grains, how should we use the cow horns? Should we use them a whole quarter of a year after they've been taken out of the ground? Rudolf Steiner. It is always best to leave them in the ground until you want to use them, although it doesn't really matter. If you use them in early autumn, you can let them stay there until you need them. It won't harm the manure. Question. Won't the etheric and astral forces be lost if you use a machine that breaks the liquid up into a very fine spray? Not at all. They're very firmly bound. In general, you don't have to be nearly as afraid that spiritual things will run away from you as you do with material things. That is, unless you chase them away to begin with. Question. How do you handle the cow horns with the minerals in them that have spent the summer underground? Rudolf Steiner. These are not at all harmed if they are taken out and stored somewhere. You can just toss them in a pile. The material that has been underground during the summer will not be harmed. The sun can shine on the horns. It might even do them good. Question. Do you have to bury the horns in the particular location you want to manure afterwards, or can you bury them all next to each other somewhere else? Rudolf Steiner. It makes so little difference that you don't have to worry about it. In practice, it is best to look for a spot that has relatively good soil with some humus in it, a soil that is not too highly mineral. Then you can bury all the horns you need in one spot. Question. What about using machines on the farm? Some people say we shouldn't use any machinery at all. Rudolf Steiner, well, that is, of course, a question that cannot be answered agriculturally. Given the state of affairs in society today, it is not really relevant to ask whether machines should be used. It is hardly possible to be a farmer today without using machines. Not everything you do is related to the most intimate processes of nature in the same way as such things as the stirring. In cases where we should not approach one of these intimate natural processes with anything purely mechanical, nature itself sees to it that machines are not of much use. You cannot do much with a machine when it comes to seed formation. Nature takes care of that on its own. I don't think the question is actually very relevant. Today, how can you manage without machines? On the other hand, I would also like to say that we do not need to encourage machine mania on the farm. I'm sure that people who always have to have the latest and best in machinery will do less well as farmers, even if the new machinery is also an improvement, than they would if they went on using their old machines until they wore out. Strictly speaking, however, these are not really agricultural issues anymore. Question. Can you use the given quantity of cowhorn manure mixed with water in an area half as large? If you do, this is Dr. Steiner. If you do, you will end up with rampant growth, as I mentioned just now in another connection. If you use it in growing potatoes, for instance, you will get rampant growth and sprawling stems, and what you want will not really develop at all. You will get what are known as rank patches. If you have rank patches, you have used too much. Question. What about fodder plants where rampant growth is desirable? Or something like spinach? Rudolf Steiner. Even there, I think you ought to use no more than half bucket with one cow horn as we did in Dornoch on an area that is mainly vegetable garden. You will need much less for crops grown in larger fields. That is already the optimum. Question. Does it matter whether you use cow manure or horse manure or sheep manure? Rudolf Steiner, cow manure is undoubtedly the best material for this procedure, but it might not be a bad idea to investigate whether horse manure could be used too. If you want to use horse manure for this purpose, it would probably be necessary to wrap the horn with some hair from the horse's mane so that those forces can be brought into play, since a horse has no horns. Question. Should we do it before or after sowing? Rudolf Steiner, before sowing is the right time to do it. But this year we got around to it a bit late, and some of it was done after sowing. So we'll see how that goes and whether it does any harm. Naturally, though, you should do it before sowing so that the soil has already been influenced. Question. Can we use the same horns for both the manure and the ground minerals? Rudolf Steiner, yes, you can do that. But you still won't be able to use them more than 3 or 4 times. They lose their forces after having been used 3 or 4 times. Question. Is it important who does the work? Can it be anyone at all, or should it be an anthroposophist? Rudolf Steiner, that is a good question. Of course, people will laugh if you raise a question like that nowadays, but let me remind you that some people who grow flowers in their window boxes are very successful, while with others, the flowers simply wither away. Such things do exist. These things, which cannot be explained outwardly, but which are inwardly quite clear, occur through the personal influence of the human being. They can come about simply because the person in question practices meditation, becomes prepared through meditative life, as I described yesterday. Indeed, when people meditate, they relate quite differently to nitrogen, which contains the imaginations. They put themselves in a position that enables all these things to be fully effective, and they are then in this position with regard to plant growth. But these days, it is not as clear as it used to be, when things like this were generally accepted. There were indeed times when people actually knew that through certain practices they undertook, they made themselves fit to care for growing plants. Nowadays, when this is not taken into consideration, other people's attitude rubs off. The delicate and subtle influences are lost if you are constantly among people who don't heed such things. That's why they are so easy to refute if you try to apply them. I still hesitate to talk openly about them in any large gathering because the circumstances of our life today are such that it is very easy to refute them. The question raised by our friend Stegman in the meeting the other day about whether it is possible to combat parasites in this way by means of concentration and similar exercises is actually a very ticklish one. There is no doubt that it can be done if you do it right. If you were to establish a sort of festival, especially during the season when the strongest forces unfold and are concentrated within the earth, that's the time between mid-January and mid-February, and undertake certain concentration exercises at this time, there could well be some effect. As I said, it is a very ticklish question, but it can be answered in the affirmative. You just have to do it in harmony with nature as a whole. You have to do that knowing that a concentration exercise is something totally different in midwinter than it is in midsummer. Certain folk sayings already contain a lot that can still provide valuable hints today. I might easily have mentioned in yesterday's talk that one of the many things I should have done in this incarnation, but didn't get around to, was to pursue the idea I had as a youth of writing a kind of peasant philosophy that would portray the conceptual life of the peasants with regard to everything that touched them. It could have been something very beautiful, and it would certainly have refuted the statement that farmers and peasants are stupid. A subtle wisdom would have emerged, a philosophy that would have expounded on the intimate details of nature in a wonderful fashion, down to the very way the words were put together. It is really astonishing how much the peasants knew about what goes on in nature. Today, it would no longer be possible to write this peasant philosophy. Almost all of these things have been lost by now. Things simply aren't the way they were 40 or 50 years ago. Back then, it was something very significant, for you could learn so much more among the peasants than you could at the university. But that was an altogether different age. You lived with the peasant farmers in the country, and it was a rarity for people with broad-brimmed hats to come along and try to introduce the modern socialist movement. Now the world is quite different. You younger ladies and gentlemen have no idea how much the world has changed in the last 30 or 40 years. A lot of the beauty in the country dialects has gotten lost, and even more of the cultural philosophy of the country people. Even the peasant almanacs had things in them that are no longer there today. I still remember almanacs printed on cheap paper, but inside the planetary signs were painted in different colors. And on the title page, as the first thing you met, was a little sugar candy you could lick whenever you used the book. That was one way. That was one way of making the subject palatable. And of course, people used it one after the other. Question. When we need to manure larger areas, should we decide how many cow horns to use just according to what feels right? Rudolf Steiner, I would not recommend this. Here I think we really have to be rational. I would advise you first to do everything you can to get the best results by trying things according to what feels right, and then start to translate your results into figures so that you have proper tables that people can use. I would say that anyone who thinks they can do it simply by feel should go ahead and do so, but in interacting with others, they should not act as if the tables weren't valuable. People need these things translated into calculable figures and amounts. That is something that is really required nowadays. We need cow horns to do this work, but that doesn't mean we should become bullheaded in advocating it. This is just the kind of thing that so easily arouses opposition. I would like to advise you here to compromise and to respect the opinions of the world as much as possible. Question: should quicklime be used in compost piles in the proportions that are usually recommended? Rudolf Steiner: I'm sure the old method will prove to be a good one, only you may have to modify it a bit, depending on whether you have moorland soil or sandy soil. With sandy soil, you will need somewhat less quicklime, while with moorland soil, you will require somewhat more on account of the acids that are formed. Question: what about turning the compost heap? Rudolf Steiner: that's not bad for it. Once you have turned it, however, you should try to protect it by covering it with a layer of earth. Peat soil or peat mold is especially good for this. Question: what kind of potash did you mean when you said that if necessary it might be used in a transition stage? Rudolf Steiner: potash, magnesia. Question: what is the best way to use the manure that is left over after the cow horns are filled? Should it be spread on the fields in the fall so that it can go through the experiment? Or should it be stored until spring? Rudolf Steiner: you must be clear that fertilizing with cowhorn manure is not meant to replace manuring in the usual way. You have to go on doing that. You must think of the new method of manuring as a kind of extra, which enhances the effect of the manuring that you have been doing up to now. This latter must continue. Thank you.